Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Jay, it's Bubba. How are you?
I'm good. You know, tell a few jokes, trying to make a living.
Trying to make it. But you know, what I don't understand, well, Jay, I do understand because you probably get bored and everything, but I mean, you obviously have made so much money. I just got to think that you just want to get out of the house and buy more exotic cars, right?
No, I just like to work. You know, I did this for years when nobody showed up. So at this point, it's kind of gravy. You know, it's fun to. You know, we do the Tonight Show. You work with writers, and because you got to do a show every day. Whereas this way, it's just by myself, and I can write something and then go try it out. And it's great fun. I actually enjoy it.
Jay Leno on the phone. Jay's going to be this Friday in Sarasota. He'll be Saturday in Gainesville, and then on the Sunrise Theater. All different parts of our affiliation in Fort Pierce on the 16th of February. So Jay, when you did the Tonight Show back in the day, obviously Jay on the phone. How, like, what would be the daily grind of that? Like, what time did you have to get there? Usually?
I usually got to about 7:30 in the morning, maybe 7:45.
That early?
Yeah. And then you kind of work on, because you got to have, you know, the news changes. You know, I always tried to have half the monologue done before I went to bed.
Right.
And inevitably, in the middle of the night, there'd be a plane crash or something happened where you had to change it all. You know, so you wanted to have at least half of it done. And then throughout the day, you just keep adding jokes as you find out which guest canceled or, you know, who OD'd on cocaine and won't be in tonight or whatever it might be. You know?
Now, how prevalent was that where a guy would... Now, I got to think that an up-and-coming guy, because a lot of people needed the Tonight Show, and then a lot of people didn't need the Tonight Show, and the caliber of people that you get, you know, often don't need it. But would you get a lot of cancellations?
No, you don't get cancellations so much. You just get people that are... You're dealing with show business, so people are high, they forgot. I mean, it's hilarious. You know, I mean, as much as I love him, my favorite was always Snoop Dogg. Because he just wouldn't, you know, okay, Snoop, you're on next Thursday. Okay. Now we tape it at the time. We taped it at 4 o'clock.
Right.
All right, see you about 2:30, 3 o'clock. Okay.
Okay.
3:45, call Snoop. Is today? You know, yeah, today. It's Snoop, so you can't get mad, but it would just be funny, you know. We had Snoop on one time, and where's Snoop? Oh, he's out by the gate.
By the gate.
There are three cop cars surrounding the car, his car. And I go, guys, we need him for the show. But he's getting arrested right now, Jay. I go, well, no, can we have him for the show? You know, somebody had a gun or something. I don't know what it was. So, I mean, it was all just that kind of stuff. Just pretty funny.
Now, Jay, over the years, you know, I got to think that you've not had the opportunity to, and I mean, you've interviewed everybody. Like, you know, when people do the press junket, whether it's a new song or a new group or a new movie or a new television, I mean, the Tonight Show, you know, they do LA, New York, and obviously, you know, it was not whether they wanted to do the Tonight Show, it's where they could get on the Tonight Show. But I mean, like, was there ever anybody, Jay, you know, because Jay, you were just a young guy growing up, and you know, I wouldn't say you get starstruck, but was there anybody ever when you're interviewing, you're like, you know what? I'm just little Jay Leno, and this is such and such that I'm talking to.
Yeah, I mean, that was, I'm trying to think of who.
Like the top three of all time. Like, you're like, oh, my God, I got.
Well, presidents are pretty good. I mean, we were the first show I've ever had a sitting president do the show. That was pretty cool. I mean, you know, there are people who. I remember when I was in the fourth grade, I had to write a paper on John Glenn circling the earth, you know, and I got a C-. So then in 1998, when John Glenn went back up to space at age 78, I said to him, you know, Mr. Simon, my teacher, gave me a C-. I said, could you call him and tell him I'm doing a follow-up?
You know,
so we called Mr. Simon, who's like 80, you know, and I said, watch the show tonight. I got the second part of my report. You know, so John Glenn came out and we talked about it, and I got upgraded to an A. My mother never lived to see it, unfortunately, the only A I ever got. But But then, well, that was pretty cool.
You had, I think you had Barack on.
You know, it was really funny. I remember the first time Barack Obama came to the show. He came by himself with his jacket off over his shoulder.
And he's the president at this point, right?
No. He's senator. He's just a senator.
Right.
And he says, my name's Barack Hussein Obama. I'm running for president. I'm going, right? That's going to happen.
Yeah. Like a guy named Hussein's going to scratch the surface.
Hussein is going to run for president. You know, I mean, it was hilarious. Then the second time he came as president. And the whole parking lot was tented. The whole parking lot was tented. So when the Secret Service cars pulled in, from the air, you couldn't see what part of the building they were going to. I mean, oh, and that's really something kind of cool. Because what happens, the Secret Service comes in like 2 days before, and they just walk through NBC and they go, you, don't come in tomorrow. Come in tomorrow. You, I mean, if you had a joint in your sock in 1972, don't come in tomorrow.
Really?
You know, I mean, I mean, they background checks on everybody.
And I think
something most people don't.
I think one time it was his birthday. I think one time you had him on his birthday, didn't he?
I think we did, yeah. I mean, something most people don't know is all cell phones within a 60-mile range of the president are monitored.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, I was at Martha's Vineyard once doing a gig, and Clinton was rumored to be coming to the club. And I'm on my cell phone, and I'm talking to my wife in California. And I go, honey, you know, President Clinton is supposed to be, they said he might come by the club tonight. And the guy comes over and taps me on the shoulder. He goes, excuse me, Miss Milano, the president will not be coming. I said, okay, thanks. I went, oh, that was pretty weird.
And so straight up, you know,
eavesdrop.
Wow. Now, when Barack was there, because I, you know, Jay, I know as you guys are getting, you know, your guests and what have you, you know, you're writing stuff and maybe sometimes if something's a little controversial, maybe your people will get a hold of their people. But, like, was there anything, like, was it scripted out of what you could and could not say? Because you're such a spontaneous kind of guy.
You know, the Secret Service did call me once when I was guest hosting. And when the first President Bush was president.
Right.
I did a joke and I said the Secret Service has strict instructions. If anything happens to President Bush, shoot quail. Okay, that was a joke. and they came to see me and said, Miss Lennon, you cannot advocate assassinating the vice president. I said, no, it's just a joke. We understand that, but we recommend you not joke about advocating the assassination of the... Oh, yes, sir, no problem. Yeah. So you get a little bit of that.
Yeah, they don't take the joke in real kindly. They're kind of... I had one interaction with Jay Leno on the phone, by the way. Jay, I had one interaction with the Secret Service. So when I first started radio back in 96, it's when printers were starting to get kind of more high tech and, you know, color printers and things like that where you could print something kind of cool. So I didn't print any money, but I didn't know that counterfeiting is under the guise. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's under the umbrella of Secret Service.
That's right, yeah,
And so I tell my co-host, I'm like, hey, I got this new printer last night, and look what I made. It makes them pretty kick-ass. And I showed them a real dollar bill, and it was radio, obviously. We don't have the active visual. And I said, go put this in the machine and see if it, the vending machine and see if it works. Well, we were putting a real dollar in there, you know. And obviously it works. I'm like, man, I got a bunch of these, meaning I had a bunch of $1 bills. But I intimated that I had printed them. So we're on the air. And this is like 7:30, and by 9:15, the Secret Service come to the radio station. They walk in the studio. We're live. We're a talk show. We don't play records. They come into my studio. They get behind me on my console. You've been in radio stations. And they turn my microphone off and hit a song. And they start interviewing me as to if I made money. They took me to my house, Jay. I have some guns, like all white trash do. And so they made me secure all my guns in the bathtub. They put a Secret Service to watch my guns, and then they took my hard drive and scanned my hard drive to make sure that I did not make money. And anybody in Tampa or any kids that said that they made money from listening to my show, I was going to be charged.
Well, the part I find fascinating is they put your guns in the bathtub. I don't quite get that.
Well, I think they wanted to put them all in one area so that some guy could watch them, I guess. They also found my wife's, my fiance's vibrator at the time, but that was pretty cool as well.
That I know, that's the Briggs & Stratton model. That's the big heavy-duty one,
that's
right?
The zero-turn kind, the hydraulic, the hydrostat kind.
Right, it's the four-horsepower with the pull chain. Yeah, I know that,
Jay, how are you doing on Jay's Garage? Are you guys back another season?
Yeah, we're filming right now. In fact, today I'm just filming with Billy Gardell in a few minutes, so that's kind of fun.
Any new cars in your collection?
Yeah, just pretty much fixing all the broken stuff. That's about it, you know. That's what I like to do.
Jay Leno on the phone. Now, Jay, I don't know if you know, but my father, his name's Doug Clem, and he lives in Reno, Nevada, but my dad has a very extensive original 32 Ford collection.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and he has a 32 Phaeton. He's got a 32 Roadster. He's got a 32 Coupe. I know you know a ton about cars. He's got the rarest Ford in 32 made. It's called a B400 convertible sedan. And they only made 823 of them, and he's got one. And my dad became friends with Eddie Meyer, and you know Eddie Meyer was the big Hollywood speed shop guy.
Right, race car driver too. Yeah,
Louis Meyer was the 3-time Indy winner back in the day. Well, Meyer used to make all this high performance stuff for 32 flatheads. For hot rod enthusiasts to bolt up, you know, and make their flathead a hot rod. So my dad has Arden heads and a Scott blower on all of his original 32s. He doesn't chop them. They're all original, but he's got the high boy wheels on them and things like that. And
right. The Arden heads were made by Duntoff, I think.
Yes.
Duntoff. Yeah, that's right.
And do you remember the Scott blower?
Yeah.
And the Scott blower, Jay, as I always knew it from my father. I don't know if this is true or not, Jay. You are more of a car historian than I am, but a Scott blower was really, really rare to put on your flathead because it was originally made for the garbage trucks in New York City because they couldn't get any power out of the flatheads to be able to haul the garbage. So supposedly the Scott blowers were originally for that. Am I right?
You got me there. I'm not sure. That's a bit of minutiae. I don't know that one. But certainly sounds possible.
How many shows have you been on before, Jay, where you talked about 32 Fords?
not a whole lot. Actually, on Jay's Garage, I'm driving my 32 Ford today. I got a 32 Ford pickup truck, so tell your dad that.
Oh, he would probably have a half erection for that. I think the Woody pickup truck is one of the only things he never got. And we lived in Indiana. And, you know, finding this stuff in the 70s and the wood was always rotted out, you could never find a good Woody back in the day.
Right. Mine is not wood. Mine is just a 32 pickup.
Don't they have the Woody version of it as well, though?
They do. They call it the Depot Hack.
Now, is yours a four-cylinder or the 78-horsepower V8?
No, mine's a hot rod with a 289.
Oh, okay. You got yours all souped up on the deal.
But the body's all stock, yeah.
Now, I know that you might appreciate this because the guys, by the way, Jay Leno on the phone, 3 dates in Florida. We got this coming Friday in Sarasota and then Gainesville on Saturday, and then he'll be at Fort Pierce on Thursday, February 16th. Growing up in Indiana, Jay, my dad, who restores 32 Fords, which I know your guys that work in your shop probably do this, but my dad, he didn't teach me how to do this because it's kind of a lost art, but when he would do body work, he would use lead and he would flux in the lead and then hand scrape it with a file.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it was done. That's the correct way to do it, actually. In fact, a lot of the factories did that, too, as well. Packard did that on the Caribbean and the hood. It's the heaviest hood in the industry because it had so much lead in it.
How many Packard? Do you have any eyes at Studebakers and Packards, Jay?
No Studebakers. Got a bunch of Packards. Got a 1911. Got a 1913. Got a 1947. I got a 1955.
Any 63 split window stock fuel injection?
Got a 63 split window fuel injection. There you go.
You do not.
Yeah, I do.
Wow. My dad had a 63 split window coupe with, I think, the stock air conditioning, and he had to sell it when mom and dad got divorced.
Well, it wouldn't have had fuel injection with air conditioning.
No, you're right. I think it was the 427 they had back then?
No, 63 was 327, 360 horse. Fuelie was the most powerful one in 63. But he probably had the 327 4-barrel with air conditioning.
Right.
I don't think you can get air conditioning with the fuel engine.
No, I don't think you can. He also had one time, I think he had a 64, was it a 409 dual quad? Was that the Impala?
409, yeah, dual quad, sure, yeah. Just like the Beach Boys song.
She's so fine, my 409, my posi traction, she's so fine, my 409, my four-speed dual quad posi traction 409, wasn't it?
There you go. Very good. There you are.
Anyway, Jay, I've had you a few times. It's the Bubba the Love Sponge show. We love the hell out of you. When you come to any one of our stations or any, we'd love to have you on the air. I'm huge. I love your Jay's Garage. I love that you're a huge car enthusiast. I love the fact that you're out, you know, circling, canvassing America when you used to make $25 million a year and you're just trying to stay out of the house and stay busy and support your car collection.
Well, thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
Is it jayleno.com, one-stop shopping for everything?
Oh yeah, I've got that. I've got some car care products out. So
now, what kind of car products? What kind of car products are you selling?
Polish and waxes, stuff we developed here at the shop. Some good metal polishes and some other things. You know, a lot of times you do these things and people give you a big chunk of change and you just advertise a major brand. But we wanted to develop our own, which we did. You know, some guys have been doing my detail stuff here for the last 10 years. We just work together to work with some chemists, and they've come up with some pretty good stuff, and it seems to be doing pretty well, so we'll keep our fingers crossed.
So you're saying with the polish and the things like that, that it's just not right, Jay Leno right. getting, like, you know, $1 million a year to make a Jay Leno to private label. You're saying that you actually do the R&D with the boys.
Yeah, no, I don't make anything unless we sell a bunch.
And I'm going to think with as many vehicles as you got to have a 55-gallon vat of it to keep a polish on all.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it works, yeah.
Are you always have to do like additions to your building because you're just running out of space now?
We just did a couple of additions to the building. Yeah, that's actually true. You know, the nice thing about California is nobody can afford to do business here anymore. So as they go out of business, they keep buying the next building down. You know, I mean, there's so many rules and regulations here. It's like crazy.
Just keep annexing.
Just keep leaving the state and you buy the property. Yeah.
In the current late night or you know, talk show arena, any particular one you watch more than the other?
Oh, I like Jimmy. Jimmy's a good friend of mine. I like Jimmy Fallon. And, you know, I got ties to the Tonight Show, obviously. And whenever I'm in town in New York, I like to go over and do Jimmy's show and interrupt the monologue and just kind of go on and throw some jokes in. So it's a lot of fun.
Now, Jay, can you Bob Hope yourself? Remember when we were growing up and Bob, when Johnny or somebody would have, and Bob Hope would show up literally on the set, and there'd be like this inspiring actress that really needed Johnny's 5 minutes, you know, because the publicist made a deal with the devil to get her on. And then Bob Hope would just roll in and... We used to call it Bob Hope and a guest. Do you ever Bob Hope a guest where, you know, hey, it's Jay Leno, he's on the lot, and he's going to go live?
No, I don't do that. I don't like to bump anybody. It's hard enough to get on these shows. You know, no, I don't like to do that.
But you got to admit, Jay, if you were on the lot and you just happened to mosey on the monologue, you'd get a big pop and everybody would love you. You got to admit.
I'll tell you a funny Bob Hope story. You know, I had Bob Hope on the show when he was close to 100.
Right.
And Bob Hope was pretty sharp. He really was sharp, but he was deaf. But he wouldn't wear his hearing aids. So Bob said to me, Jay, tell you what, Jay, just give me you just talk, and I've got all the punchlines memorized. So he said, I know what I'm going to say. So you just, you know, each time you speak, I'll give you the punchline. So he had 10 jokes.
Right.
So the first one is, hey, Bob, or whatever it is. And Bob does a punchline, big laugh. Second one, hey, Bob, what's this? Does a punchline, second one. Then the third one, I went, excuse me, Bob. And they did the punchline, you know. Okay, and then I said, no. And then I did the punchline for the third one. And now he's on to the fourth one. You know, so we were one joke.
Now he's out of sync, right?
Yeah, we're totally out of sync. And we couldn't get it back. I mean, it was really funny. And he said, that's right, blah, 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 blah. You know.
Man.
No, Bob. No, wait, Bob, stop. Just stop, Dave. Let's go back.
Jay Leno on the phone, and Jay, thank you for the 15 or so minutes today. I really enjoy having you.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time.
And we'll continue to promote your 3 gigs, and when you come back or anywhere near, man, love to have you again, buddy.
Talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Have your dad.
I will, man. His name's Doug Clem.
Give Doug my best.
All right, man. Thank you, Jay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Damn, show some love for Doug Clem.
Yeah, how about that?
Love that, man.